It's time for another update from Encourage. The Encourage Foundation office is located at 478 East Grand Avenue in downtown Wisconsin Rapids on the east side, right across from Hotel Mead. And Kelly Ryan's here, and we're going to be talking about the picnic last week and the Tribune Building Project. I was your announcer. I got to get through one page of announcements, and then the monsoon arrived.
Yes, it did.
Okay. And unfortunately, people were, well, why couldn't you guys continue? Water and electricity doesn't mix.
It doesn't, no. So, unfortunately, or fortunately, I did hear your comment earlier with the Hittners about it's 5 o'clock somewhere,
that's right?
You weren't too far from the beer tent,
that's
Carl.
Right. And thank you, Oso Brewing Company.
Yeah, thank you, Oso. Thank you to the Mash Masters Home Brewing Club.
That's right. I talked to some of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was
a lot of... But I was amazed, despite the rain... All the people that turned out.
Yeah, we were too. We were really thrilled. And I just have to say, you know, we really worked hard to make the right decision about whether to continue with the picnic when we saw the weather kind of brewing in the afternoon. And we talked to meteorologists at WAOW and others. The projection was it would be kind of intermittent and spotty. But what I want to say is, you know, it did cut down on attendance. Last year we had 7,000 people at the community picnic, but not significantly. This year we had 4,000 people.
That's incredible.
That came out in the rain, and including you, right?
Yeah, right.
So I just, you know, it shows it. My takeaway and observation, being wringing wet, was people were very nice to each other. They were very civil. They were sharing umbrellas with people they didn't know.
Right.
They were having conversations under tents to get away from the rain. And in large part, that really is what the picnic is all about, is having people connect with new people from our community that we may not know.
That's true. I mean, people were talking and joking. Yep. We were cracking jokes about the rain and, you know, welcome to Florida.
It didn't stop people from getting together.
You know?
And Representative Krug was a good example. One, you know, distinct memory of mine is him standing in his black suit,
right,
having just come from Madison,
right,
in the pouring rain, doing a Facebook Live video to his colleagues in the Joint Finance Committee, saying, look at the people of Wisconsin Rapids downtown here celebrating the community, the assets near the Tribune, and here's why we need to support this community with some state investment.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of people wet that evening, very few complaining about the rain.
Okay. One suggestion that was brought up, this isn't meant to be a pun, but to encourage feedback.
Yes.
One little feedback I did get is, can we do something different about handicap parking?
I was just going to say, I'll bet I know what it is. We felt that evening within the first 15 minutes of the picnic was that we had to rethink handicap parking for next year. And I will tell the listeners, we reassessed handicap parking this year. We researched whether we could have golf carts or shuttles kind of taking people back and forth. We weren't able to do that. So we work with the Volunteer Police Auxiliary here. They're the ones that really help us with parking. And it is number one on the agenda in terms of discussing how are we going to rethink that for next year.
Okay. So it's on the agenda,
absolutely,
folks.
Absolutely, it is.
Okay. Yeah, because normally when you think of handicapped parking, you think of close.
Right, very close.
Close, very close.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, we need to think about how are we opening up parking lots that are closer to the event itself. So we're going to work on that for next year, for sure.
Okay.
And I would just say to anybody listening, if you have feedback on the picnic itself, on our website and on our Facebook page, there's a form that you're able to provide feedback on the picnic, what you enjoyed, potential improvements for next year, because we really are committed to constant improvement. And if you're interested in participating, in volunteering, right?
Yeah, we had a whole lot of volunteers.
We did.
I mean, over 300, wasn't it?
Over 300 volunteers donated more than 800 hours of service, either before, during, or after the picnic.
Yeah, that was incredible,
too. Remarkable.
Yeah, and the volunteers were all having a good time, too.
They were, and they were all wet for the most part, right?
I know. Well, once you get
and we had
wet,
teams.
You don't care.
We had Assumption High School football team came and set up in the morning. Lincoln High School football team came and broke down in the evening. So there was a lot of camaraderie and connection between institutions and individuals in the community.
Yeah.
The other one I want to call out, if I could, is really the food vendors.
I was going to ask about that.
The partners that supported the picnic itself, right? It is remarkable in the 6 years since we've started this how many people are stepping up to participate and either donate local food, contribute time to prepare local food, support the event itself with donations of water, bottled water,
cranberry juice.
Cranberry juice. I mean, we were unloading cases. We had 75 picnic partners, so those would be businesses or organizations that donated services or goods. 45 of them were food providers, so they did things like either provided ingredients. Many cooked the pork for the pulled pork sandwiches.
Oh, those were good.
Many restaurants and service organizations helped cook and shred the pork. And, you know, we have some staff that said, I'm not sure I'm going to have a pork sandwich for a long time because we've seen so much of it, but it was fabulous.
Yes,
really
it was.
Well done. They made salads. They made salads out of local ingredients. We engaged the farmers from the farmers market and used local produce, local restaurants. 90% of this year's meal incorporated local ingredients, and that's another purpose or underlying intention for the picnic is celebrating local assets.
And that has been something, for instance, Wood County in Healthy Wood County, that initiative has been to celebrate farm to table and promote folks buying locally from, and we just had a segment with Family Natural Foods here, and they promote, you know, local produce and local
produce. They're a good example. They donated and made a salad for the picnic. Perfect example, right? And it is a great example of farm to table. So the food that you ate at the picnic, if you were in attendance, those products in large part were farm to table.
Yeah, and so you were eating central Wisconsin food, central Wisconsin grown and produced, cooked food. And it was great. The corn was awesome, as usual.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I have to say, I would be remiss if I did not specifically call out the corn on the cob and the roasting of the corn, because for those that have been in attendance or from year one, know that when we first decided that we were going to not do a traditional annual meeting anymore and invite people to the hotel meet or another venue for cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, that we wanted to do something that really was inclusive of the whole community. Harold Altenberg was the first phone call when we said we're going to do a community picnic, and he said, what can I bring to the picnic? And that first year, he brought a roasting machine.
And I remember that.
Remember, he did 1,000 ears of corn that first year. Now, this year, having served 4,000, Harold will have roasted, and his team, believe me, his team, right, shucked and roasted 24,000 ears of corn.
Wow.
Isn't that remarkable?
That's incredible.
It is. It's a labor of love.
Yeah. And there's an example of someone who stepped up and said, oh, you want to do a community picnic? Great.
Yeah.
Count me in.
Yeah.
And that's, and I'm glad you brought that up. Who was the person, as we celebrate the history, and this is going to become a tradition, and I think with traditions, you need to celebrate the history. Who originated the idea? Who on the board or who?
For the picnic?
Yeah.
It was our board of directors and staff together having a conversation about how are we truly living our stated values as an organization.
Okay.
And if we believe that we want to create an opportunity, a community that works well for all people, then we need to model that behavior, and we need to have events that really are inclusive and invite all people to participate, number one. So it did come out of the board of directors and the staff discussing how do we do our business as an organization, and how can we do it in ways that are more consistent with what our vision is, right?
Right.
So that was number one. Number two was understanding that we have assets in this community, right? We have natural resources, tremendous natural resource assets. We have food and agriculture assets, and oftentimes we ourselves don't see what we have, right?
That's true. In terms of
appreciation. Oftentimes we have visitors that come in and say, this is a beautiful community.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us that live here have had economic challenges over the last 17 years, and sometimes the narrative is not as positive as it should be,
mm-hmm.
and we can be our own worst enemy in that regard. So it really is about celebrating local assets.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally is the fact that we oftentimes in this really busy society, we don't know each other as neighbors, and we don't know each other in terms of the people that live in this community, right?
Yeah.
So we have our own
neighbor
circle.
Being neighbor.
Exactly, right? We have our own circle of friends and associates, colleagues, but oftentimes we really don't know many broadly the people that comprise the community. And the underlying intention is that we have people meeting each other because we share this community together.
And that's why we went back to a meal instead of just a food court.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, get your meals, sit down, meet somebody. Pam and I met some folks and said hi to them, and that's, you know, that's the neat thing about the meal, sitting, enjoying great food, but also meeting and talking to someone.
Mm-hmm. I would also say that the idea of meeting and knowing the people that live in this community
mm-hmm.
is really important for growing this economy. And I say that not lightly, because we have current worker shortages. We have employers that are struggling to fill positions
with
employees. Our most recent data, I just looked at this morning, our workforce board, we have currently 2,000 open positions unfilled in this Workforce Investment Board region that we're part of. They project an additional 9,000 new jobs in the next 3 years, either due to retirements or growth, right? So from a base economic growth frame, we need every person in this community to be able to realize his or her full potential and have an opportunity to have a pathway into family-supporting employment, right? And in order for that to happen, we need to know each other, and we need to know who are the people that live in our community, and how can we help them get attached to employment? How can we then help employers fill those worker needs? But at the base level, it starts with understanding who are our neighbors, and how can we help them be successful in an economy.
We're visiting with Kelly Ryan from Encourage, and we just talked about the picnic, but now we're going to talk about the Tribune Building Project and a very unique fundraiser.
Yes.
Involving Mr. Monarch.
Butterflies.
Butterflies.
Yes, exactly. The Monarch butterflies. So, of great interest primarily to young people and children.
Yes.
But all ages, Carl. So I have one here for you, a chrysalis that is unopened.
I see that.
And then we have one that was born this morning at 9 o'clock. So
wow.
You have both here in front of you. And for the listener, if you want to see these, you can see them on our Facebook page at Encourage. This was the idea of Richard Breen, and Richard has been very involved in the Makers Club and associated with the Tribune Project.
Yes.
And he's been very involved in the Tribune Project as well, around fostering innovation in the community. And Monarchs are a passion of Richard's, and he came to us with this idea. And he said, I'd like to incubate 2,000 is his goal, Monarchs, and sell them at $5 a piece as a fundraiser for the Tribune. In essence, then creating a $10,000 gift towards the Tribune by virtue of, I would say, a labor of love for Richard and his wife. And I talked to Richard at the picnic, and he said, how is your, you know, his home is overtaken by chrysalis. He's got a tent in the backyard, and he has, I think, about a dozen community volunteers that are also helping with this. So they get born in batches, if you will, and different timing, and Richard drops off. Encourage staff and volunteers have been selling these at various events. So more recently at Helen's Zoo House.
Mm-hmm.
So we we support the programming for the kids at Helen Zoo House, and there was an event this week, and Corey from our team was out there and sold, I'm not sure how many, but sold quite a few.
I would imagine the kids love these.
They love it. They do love it. And I think Saturday, a team of us will be all day long in Port Edwards, which is the Monarch City, right? At their Fun Fest, and we will have the Monarchs available there. So if you haven't purchased one, come to our offices. They're available. Or we will have a table at the Fun Fest Saturday all day.
And Richard also does education on the importance monarchs play in our local environment, and it's why it's so critical.
Yes.
I mean, everyone from cranberry growers to, you know, they play an important role.
The whole process, right?
Right.
We had a young family come in the other day, and the mother said, we just came from the library. We got a book on understanding why monarchs are important, and now we are going to plant some milkweed seeds. And so it was really an educational experience for the children as well, right? This is a great example of someone using their passion and their talent and their interest to generate interest in something that they care about, both the Monarch and the Tribune Building, right?
Right.
It will take many, many $5 to build the Tribune Building,
right.
However. So we also have much larger fund development aspirations and requests presently underway, and one in particular I want to mention and talk about is the allocation request in the state budget.
Which is why
Representative Krug was there. Also, Senator Tustin was there. They both have been very, very positive and very much advocates for this region. They championed an investment from the state transportation budget into our airport for upgrades to support incoming and heavier traffic flow with our new Sand Valley golf course. And they have been champions of a $3 million investment in the Tribune to help grow the economy here in the Wisconsin Rapids area. That investment and that proposal of theirs has been well received by their peers. The budget, as we all know, is a little late this year.
Yes, it is.
And the feeling is that it may be accelerated, and it may be resolved in the next couple of weeks because of the Foxconn deal that we have as a state, and what kind of attention that's going to require from the state. But we had conversations with both Senator Tustin and Representative Krug, and even in the context of the Foxconn investment,
right,
to put $3 billion into southeastern Wisconsin, there sure will be some ripple effects up here, I'm sure, with some supplier support. However, we made the case and said, that's great. $3 billion in southeastern Wisconsin is wonderful for the state. Let's see what we can do for $3 million in the center of Wisconsin Rapids downtown, focused on helping grow businesses and support entrepreneurs, which is exactly what the Tribune is about.
And that's that's what Representative Krug and Senator Tustin say they love about the project. Also, it's a people-driven, not a government-driven project.
Exactly.
I mean, this is something that citizens getting together and saying, yeah, we want to save this part of our city's heritage and use it to grow a future.
Yes.
Exactly. And look at, well, you mentioned the beer tent was manned by all these microbrewers.
Yes.
Who came out of their garages and formed a group.
Yes.
And they want to have start maybe their own breweries or like. And also, which just announced a big expansion, Stevens Point has been behind this because they're saying the industry needs that kind of future growth, future entrepreneurship.
Yes. Yeah. So Oso is a good example. And Mark Butera, the owner of Oso, is an advisor to the Tribune Project. He has agreed that Oso will apprentice our brewmaster for the Tribune Building. He will continue to be involved as an advisor on that through completion of the project. He's been a great advocate and champion, as have those home brewers. I cannot say enough about that group, their spouses. There is a level of support there for realizing the vision of the Tribune and to help incubate and support home brewers who might have a business idea, incubate and support local food entrepreneurs using a culinary kitchen that have a business idea that they need some support to have come to fruition. So many people in this state budget process have written letters to legislators, some for the first time ever, have made phone calls to Madison, to legislators, many for the first time ever. We have a really powerful visual of the downtown businesses and the number of businesses that signed on to support the Tribune request and to have the Tribune come to reality. When you see that visual with the businesses highlighted that signed a letter of support and made phone calls, it's really remarkable. It's like a halo of support around the Tribune building from the small businesses in the area and the other partner institutions. They've been great in supporting the request as well.
Miss State Technical College here, they're looking.
Wisconsin. I mean, I can't tell you the number of institutions that sent letters. Yeah. Doug Wenslaw at Solaris, the Wisconsin Paper Council, Domtar, Craig Tim, that whole group. They've all been really, really helpful in this process.
Because we're talking about encouraging entrepreneurship and the dreams of people and who want to grow the next big business in our area.
Yeah. The Tribune is not about competing. It's with business in any sense. It's really about growing the economy and growing the economy in a very important part of our community. Our regional community is downtown Wisconsin Rapids, right?
Right.
And so what I would like to do, I know you're looking at, we've got 2 minutes, but what I need to say to the listeners is we have an upcoming Tribune building meeting on September 12th. It will be at 5:30 at the Centralia Center. The information will be available on our Facebook and our Tribune building, tribunebuilding.org. And Tribune Building has its own Facebook page as well. What we will be doing is providing an update on a number of things. I'm very hopeful we will have information on the state budget, positive information on the state budget by that time. That first, it's called first in money, that first in larger sum of money is going to help us with other funders that we have lined up right now that are waiting for someone to come in first with big money.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So that's important. The other thing that is important for the listener and our residents that have participated in the process to know is that we have spent the last many months evaluating what the market looks like right now in terms of demand for the services and the programs that the residents came up with in 2014. So we look at downtown and we say, what's changed in downtown since 2014? And what are potential changes in the near future that could impact what kind of programs and services should the Tribune be offering, right?
Okay.
So we have the Riverblock building now that has Wood County, a number of Wood County employees in there. And when I say the demand or the market has changed, there's been some changes in downtown.
Yes.
Assessing and looking at the mall and the business opportunities
there.
The Triangle Project, exactly. We've been in conversation with the city and others about how do we make sure that we're producing compatible programs, businesses, and services, and that there's not redundancy. So right now it's reassessing that, and you'll hear some of that report on this September 12th meeting.
Okay. And as usual, there going to be food provided? Or
yes, there are.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And child care. So what we try to do is remove barriers that anybody that wants to participate can participate.
Well, I'll make sure I get the announcement. I'll record another announcement like I did with the other Tribune building.
Great. All right. Thank you, Carl.
Okay. But we're going forward with this, and we'll keep you updated.
Absolutely.
And encourage, and again, go to their website or into the Tribune Building website to stay updated and show up at the meeting.
Please do.
Yeah.
Please show up at the meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, or if you have questions, call us and ask us.
That's right.
It's the best way. I mean, I work out at the Y in the mornings, and, you know, regularly I get more questions in the women's locker room than I do on the street. So I think ask anybody associated with Encourage or the Tribune Project itself, you know, for more information.
And buy a Monarch. Take care, Kelly. That's Kelly Ryan from Encourage, and that's going to do it for this edition of the Morning Magazine.